author A.J. Jacobs is part gonzo journalist, part performance artist, and human guinea pig. In recent years, he's lived by George Washington's rules of conduct, outsourced his entire life of everyday tasks to Indian service representatives, posed as a woman on an online dating site, and grown a long Hebrew beard to adhere to Old Testament doctrine as part of a year of living biblically. His latest quest, getting fit. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we're joined by that very same A.J. Jacobs, who will tell us about his new book, Drop Dead Healthy, where he literally strives to be healthy from head to toe, taking his wife, family, and friends down yet another grueling experiment of astronomical and whimsical proportions. We're definitely pumped for this talk on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. He may have set out to know all the contents of the Encyclopedia Britannica, or live the Bible out literally for a year. But when it came to health, A.J. Jacobs still thought of himself as a mushy, easily winded, moderately sickly blob. That was until he made it his obsession to get fit. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. We now welcome A.J. Jacobs, author of the book Drop Dead Healthy. A.J. Jacobs, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you for having me.
Now, what is it with these memoirs where you embark on something whimsical and out of the ordinary and then document it? Is that what you set out to do this time? You got Year of Living Biblically, you got Know-It-All, and
right.
Then you got My Life as an Experiment.
That's it. Well, the truth is that my life is very boring, though my real life is very boring. You know, in my childhood, I can't write a memoir about my childhood. My father was not a spy. He wasn't an alcoholic, just a regular guy. So I'd like to put myself in extraordinary situations and then write about the extraordinary things that happened. So
sort of break that fourth wall, so to speak.
Exactly.
All of these books. Of these books are about self-improvement, and that's kind of caught on with you. What did you learn as you undertook this latest journey?
Well, this one I started because, as you mentioned, I was a blob. I was actually skinny fat. That's what I don't know if you know that term, but it's sort of the body was a snake that looks like it had swallowed a goat. So that's what I looked like, and my wife said, "I don't want to be a widow in my 40s. You've got to get in shape." So I said, "If I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to go all the way, like I did with my other books, and try to follow all the medical advice in the world and see what works and what doesn't." And that's how it began.
Skinny fat, that sounds like specially customized pants with a wallet pocket for hipsters, but I'll go with it. Speaking of skinny fat, you wrote this book on a treadmill while running on a treadmill?
I wasn't running. I don't want to exaggerate.
Okay.
I was strolling, sometimes at a brisk pace. But yes, that was one of the big revelations of the year, is that sitting is really bad for you. Extended sitting. It's okay to sit sometimes, but we are at our desks 14 hours a day, or at least I used to be, and there's an amazing amount of research that says that this is terrible for your heart, that this will mess with your metabolism. One doctor told me sitting is the new smoking.
Wow.
That scared me.
Well, AJ, because you said that, I'm going to stand up right now, or at least I'm going to pretend to stand up right now, because it's radio and people won't know if I stood up or not, but I'm
excellent
all about making
idea.
My heart feel better.
There you go.
I just did it.
The microphone is at my seated level, so I don't feel I can move it without getting in trouble. But I would be joining you. I set up. There's a movement of people who actually take their treadmills and put a little desk on top of them, or put their computer on top. And that's what I did. It took me about 1,200 miles to write the book.
You're not on a treadmill right now.
I am not.
Okay.
I am not. But I still do work on the treadmill probably 6 or 7 hours a day.
What was the motivation in doing this from a personal level? And when did it go from personal motivation to say, you know what, I'm going to write a book while walking on a treadmill, and I'm going to log in 1,200 miles and get another memoir out of it?
Well, part of the motivation is that I love the self-improvement. I feel like I've got a lot to improve. There's a lot, wrong with me. So I had done a book about reading the encyclopedia, as you mentioned. So that was sort of improving the mind. Then I tried to live by all the rules of the Bible, and that was improving my spirit. So this was sort of the end of the trilogy, the final part. I needed to improve my body because I had sort of ignored my body for about 40 years, and it needed some work.
I've read pretty much all of your trilogy, as you said, and I'm pretty sure people within the sound of my voice and the sound of our voice have read some of your books. Let me ask you this, because I'm sure a lot of people are curious about this. Do you enjoy driving yourself and your wife to the brink of insanity?
Sometimes I do.
It seems to be a recurring
theme. It does. I have a little bit of a masochistic streak. I will admit that. And sometimes it is horrible, you know, like growing that beard. My wife wouldn't kiss me for about 6 months. This was a beard I had to grow for the book on living by the Bible, because the Bible says you can't shave. Sometimes it's incredibly painful. But the hope is that at the end, the pain is worth it, because what I take away makes my life better.
And she's supportive of that?
Somewhat.
Somewhat.
I wouldn't say fully.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
You got to elaborate on that, AJ.
Well, some parts she likes. Just to take the year of living biblically, for example, she liked that I think I became a little bit of a better person. I don't gossip as much or lie or covet. You know, I still do it all the time, but not as much as I used to. But then there were parts of that project that drove her crazy. Like the Bible says that you cannot touch women during their time of months. Because they are impure. And if you take Leviticus really literally, you cannot sit on a seat where a woman in her time of month has sat, because then the seat is impure. So my wife found that offensive and sat in every seat in our apartment. So I was forced to stand for most of the year, which it turns out was probably good for me. It's healthy to stand, as I learned that, sitting is dangerous.
That's funny. I'm pretty sure there were times during that process, and probably during this process, where she wanted you to walk on water as well.
So, walk on water far away from the apartment.
Right. Yeah. So getting back to Drop Dead Healthy, you assembled a team of expert medical advisors, a group that included A-list doctors, researchers, nutritionists, and trainers. How did you go about picking the right gurus?
Partly it was the books that I read that I found helpful. I went with some famous people like Dr. Oz, but I also wanted the best in every category, because I broke the book up down by body parts. So I worked on my heart and my stomach and my lungs, but also weird parts like my hands, and I tried to have the healthiest hands and the healthiest feet. So I would go to the top doctor in each of those areas.
Tell us about what your hippie aunt Marty had to say about your quest and her role in this whole process.
Well, she is the most health conscious person I ever met. She's a vegan, and she's very concerned about chemicals, so she won't use the microwave. She thinks that she was shocked that I had a plastic shower curtain, because that has some BPH that might be harming me and my kids. So she was sort of my guru on that, and she's an extreme. I don't listen to everything she says, but she had some good points.
There was a somber point to what happened with your Aunt Marty, too. Despite living a fully healthy life and a very sort of paranoid, conspiratorial, as you mentioned, hippie, left-leaning, soy, green life, she contracted cancer and decided not to undergo chemo.
Yes, and unfortunately she passed away about a year ago. And that was a theme in the book. You know, you can do everything right, but you only have so much control. I call it the Jim Fix problem, because you might remember him. He's the guy
Jim Fix is the marathon runner who wrote the definitive book on running and ironically ended up dying while running.
He ended at a pretty young age. I think it was about 51.
Yeah, mid-50s.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can do everything right and still die at an early age. But the other side of me says, you know, you can't focus on that. That's a cynical way to approach it. There are two things that you should remember. First, if you do exercise and eat right, chances are you're going to live longer. You know, gym fix aside, those are the outliers. And secondly, being in good shape is good for you now. It gives you more energy. It generally makes you happier. So there are selfish reasons, even if you don't live a long time, to try to adopt these healthy behaviors.
And speaking of which, you sort of employed both sides of what you just said, both schools of thought on being healthy and the mortality that we all face. You said you can do all the healthy stuff in the world, but you can still crack your skull on any given day. So talk about that.
Oh, yes. Well, there's a, you know, safety is a part of being healthy. So I tried to be the safest person alive. So I got my house inspected by the head of a safety organization. And there's some pretty alarming data that being a pedestrian is actually as unsafe as being a driver or a bicyclist. And in the Netherlands, there was actually a movement to try to get pedestrians to wear helmets. So I thought, why not? At least give it a shot. So for a while, I was wearing a helmet around New York City as I walked. Even for me, that was a little too much. That was the humiliation of wearing a helmet while walking down the street, I think, outweighed any benefits.
I've been to a part of the Netherlands where they wear helmets, and it's not so much about safety as about the cafes that they have over there, if you know
really?
What I mean. You're listening to the Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. My personal drop-dead healthy moment, I once ran 19 miles, then stopped at a McDonald's afterwards, lighting a cigarette before I went into Mickey D's. Our guest
really?
Is... Really? True story.
That's great.
Our guest is AJ Jacobs. He's not quite as impulsive as me, but equally obsessive. His book is called Drop-Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Request for a Bodily Perfection. One man's humble quest for bodily perfection. Excuse me. Kansas City, what crazy zany workout or diet plan have you gotten into? Did you run 19 miles and then smoke and go to the McDonald's like me? Did it give you the results you wanted? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email about your crazy exercise or diet plan at centralstandard@kcur.org. Facebook is also an option. And Twitter, our handle is @kcurcst. AJ Jacobs, what myths about being physically fit or not physically fit did you get a chance to dispel while working on yourself in this book?
Well, there are quite a few. One of them is that before exercising, you need to stretch. So that was a little time saver. There's very little evidence that stretching prevents injury. There's also the myth that you need to exercise a lot to be in shape. There are some studies that say that exercising very hard for a very short amount of time is as good as exercising for an hour. So it's called high intensity interval training.
Or
so
HIIT.
Something to look at.
HIIT exactly. Is the acronym. Tell us about HIIT. What did you do with HIIT?
Well, the idea is, you know, you want to see your doctor before you do this because it can be strenuous. But instead of going to the gym and riding the exercise bicycle at a moderate pace for 45 minutes an hour, what you do is you go in and you just go full bore. You go 110% for just 30 seconds and then rest for a minute. Then do it again, 30 seconds, and then rest. And do this for about 6-10 minutes, and you get an amazing workout.
I think a lot of people work out like that, and they don't call it high interval intensity training. I think they just go for a long time and then just stop because they're pooped. Speaking of which, though, shoeless jogging was an interesting endeavor in your book. Talk about your adventure with shoeless jogging. It seems logical enough. If there were more sand around here, I would do it myself. Tell us about that experience.
Well, this is a big trend. People say that our feet were not built for shoes. You know, we were built to run barefoot on the savannah. So there's a whole group of people who do this. And I tried it in New York. And, you know, I'm a bit of a germaphobe. So running barefoot in New York was a traumatic experience. I don't know what I stepped on. And And the truth is, it works for some people and it does not work for others. It's not a cure-all. It depends on your foot. If you have a perfectly balanced foot, then yes, running without shoes is fine. But if you have any sort of imperfection, it is good to have sneakers.
So, speaking of running, you run errands, literally, something that's even crazier to do in New York City. You run errands, like literally running errands. Tell us about your running errands and what zany hijinks ensued after that.
Well, that, I mean, I figured that's the phrase, run errands. So why not take it literally? Because the key is to incorporate movement into every part of your life. You know, we tend to compartmentalize the movement. So we'll sit on our butts for 14 hours and then go to the gym for an hour and think that that's enough. But sadly, the studies show that that is almost as bad as not exercising at all. So trying to keep moving all the time. And one way is to run errands. So I'll run to the drugstore, buy a toothbrush, and run back home. And yes, you do get some odd looks when you're, you know, running in street clothes. You know, people are a little panicked. So, but overall, I found it a great way to get exercise in.
I'm a 200-pound black man. I'm not going to run in street clothes. We're joined by AJ Jacobs, author of the book Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. He's been telling us about some of his crazy workout endeavors, and we want to know yours. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We're going to go to Rudy in Mission. Rudy, welcome to Central Standard.
Hello?
Yes. Can you turn down your radio in the background?
Yeah. Hey, my name is Rodriguez, and I live in Kansas City. And what I like to do is I'll go to concerts, and they have these things called circle pits where people run in a big circle. And when that happens, people run really, really fast. So these concerts will last like 2 to 3 hours. And so I'll get in my Spider-Man costume and run around for like 2 or 3 hours. And that's what I like to do. And it gets a really good cardio workout because you're not just – when you're running, you have to push people out of the way so you don't get hurt or fall over. And it's a lot of fun.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Do you eat brownies before you run around in a circle with the Spider-Man costume?
I refrain from drugs and alcohol.
Okay, good. Okay, so it's a fully wholesome workout in the Spider-Man costume running around in a circle.
Yeah, it's a wholesome workout. I drink protein after the concert.
Wow.
That is fantastic. That's a great workout.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that workout. AJ, you missed one. Running around in a Spider-Man costume in a circle in the middle of a concert.
I did some strange workouts, but that is one of the oddest I've ever heard. So, more power to him.
Thank you so much, Roddy Rodriguez from Mission, Kansas. Andrew in Topeka. How do you top that? Andrew in Topeka, welcome to Central Standard.
Oh, greetings. Well, when I was on the East Coast, I used to run at least one ultramarathon a year, the JFK 50-miler, after JFK's famous challenge to walk 50 miles. And the year came when I had obligations at work and in family where I couldn't train. But me being me, hey, I went ahead anyhow. And let me tell you, a year of not training for a 50-miler is great. I was relaxed. I had a great time. And the only problem was the next day I was so crippled, I had to crawl to the bathroom.
Wow.
Okay? Yeah, and then another story of my ultra days is the longest race I ran in was a 162-miler, the Mr. Rogers Fun Run. Mm-hmm. And that was around
the Southwest.
That doesn't
sound fun.
It was fun.
Did you have to wear a sweater? Did you have to wear a cardigan sweater for that run, Mr. Rogers Fun Run?
Well, it was pretty temperate, so I didn't have to bulk up like I did for some of these things. But, of course, in the first mile, the eventual winners just disappeared into the distance. I mean, there were guys that show up for ultras wearing mesh T-shirts and skimpy shorts. I mean, what are they thinking of? I mean, normally I'm in khakis and a sweatshirt. But anyhow, the Mr. Rogers Fun Run was around the southwest corner of West Virginia. And I'm pacing with a guy about halfway through the race, and we're going through a small West Virginia town, heading uphill, of course. And he says, could we stop? I'd like to visit a friend. Okay, we stop, and he goes inside to visit his friend, and I'm on the front porch, and I'm looking out, and there's a brick sign in the front of the house. What is that? I go out there and look around, and I'm sitting in front, or standing in front, of a funeral home.
Okay.
The guy is visiting his friend, but his friend is dead.
Wow.
So I tell you, any race that's short enough where you can't pay respect to the dead during it is not a real race.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for your contribution to the program. These are some very interesting exercise anecdotes.
Yeah, that one I hadn't done either. I will say in the encyclopedia I read about the first modern marathon in the Athens Olympics in 1896, and the winner of that was a Greek peasant who stopped in the middle of the race at a local tavern to have a glass of cognac. So I always thought that was inspirational. You can still have a good time while exercising.
Did you stop and have some cognac while you exercised?
I never did do that. I drank coffee. Caffeine is very good for you while you're exercising in terms of endurance. But there, your Andrew brings up an interesting point, because there is a debate in the health community about whether these ultra marathons are healthy for you or not so healthy for you, because they really put a strain on your body. So I did end up doing a triathlon. It was a shorter triathlon. As I mentioned before, I'm a bit of a germaphobe, so swimming in open water in New York City is a terrifying experience for me. But I went ahead and I gave it a shot.
You learned some interesting things about the human brain, which is where all of this motivation and every decision and every physical activity starts. So what did you learn?
Well, I learned there's a whole movement now that you can do these brain exercises. It's sort of, the idea is that the brain is just like a muscle. So if you work it out like you work out your biceps, you can make the brain better. And there's a lot of exaggeration in this area. You know, there's all people who say if you play Mozart to your unborn child, he's going to come out a genius. That is taking it way too far. But there is some evidence that if you do some of these exercises, if you do crossword puzzles, or if you just meditate is another great thing for your brain. There is evidence that some of this helps. So I would every day try to do my brain exercises.
Which was the weirdest brain exercise that you learned about?
Well, one thing they recommend is that you try to change your life in little ways as much as possible, because we get sort of ruts in our brain when we do the same thing over and over again, and it's hard to break out and see things from a new perspective. So even something like brushing your teeth with a different hand, so doing your left hand instead of your right hand. So I did try that for a while, and every little thing I tried to do differently. It gets quite exhausting, but it was an interesting exercise.
Now, speaking of interesting exercises, having more sex was also part of your journey to bodily perfection, and you have a whole chapter in your book dedicated to that. So is it fair to say that's fair game? How did that work
sure.
for you?
Well, sex is generally healthy. I mean, not always. And there is a slight risk of a heart attack while you're actually having sex. But overall, sex is linked to longevity. So I have three young kids. So there was a quota. It wasn't going to be sex every day. My wife made that very clear, which is okay by me. I don't think I have the energy for that. But I did try to improve my sex life. There's a lot of people who propose different aphrodisiacs to help your sex life, you know, something like eating zucchini or eating chocolate. There's one study that says that the smell that women find most arousing is a combination of cucumber and Good and Plenty. I don't know how they came up with that combination, but I figured why not try it. So I sort of mixed up some cucumber juice and Good and Plenty and sprayed it around the room.
And what happened?
That was not a huge success. because my wife's like, "What is that weird smell?" The truth is that food aphrodisiacs don't really work. The best way to improve your libido is to do something exciting. Because that gets the dopamine going in the brain, and that gets the libido up. So something is, you know, going on a roller coaster or something like that, or going to a new restaurant in a new part of town, an exotic vacation. These are the things that that help your sex life.
Well, you're all about doing new things. We know that. We're joined by A.J. Jacobs, the author of the book, A Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. He spent 2 years working on every aspect of his body and mind and soul, burning away a book advanced as well as his weight in the process. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, more workout and wellness tips from the man who builds and destroys himself for a living. Meanwhile, Kansas City, so far we've found out that some of you run in circles while wearing Spider-Man outfits, and some of you run in Mr. Rogers-themed marathons and stop at cemeteries in the process. So, having said that, has your spouse or partner driven you crazy with a crack diet plan or exercise regimen? Are you on a treadmill right now and calling into live radio shows right now? If so, give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We want to know about your crazy exercise or diet regimen. You can shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org as well. Facebook is also an option. And on Twitter, we are at @KCURCST. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. We are back with the man who wrote the book we've been discussing while walking on a treadmill, a man who took the Staten Island Ferry to a triathlon while carrying a pink camouflage duffel bag. This man is part P.T. Barnum, part Hunter S. Thompson without the psychedelic drugs, and part Seinfeld without the Kramer. Our guest is A.J. Jacobs, author of the book Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. Meanwhile, Kansas City, what crazy zany workout or diet plan have you gotten into? Did it give you the results you wanted, or did it just give you great anecdotes like our guest today? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Also, we're reachable at centralstandard@kcur.org. AJ, part of this journey was adventures in different gym classes, including a ballet yoga aerobics cocktail called Physique 57, and anti-gravity yoga? Tell us about these experiences.
Yes, you know, that is the beautiful thing about America. And you can, there are thousands of different classes. So I did anti-gravity yoga, which is hanging from the ceiling in a little hammock and doing yoga there. I tried pole dancing, which is the most popular class at our gym. And I will tell you,
is it popular among men?
Not so popular among men.
Okay.
There was, the ratio was about 50 to 1 with me being the one.
Right.
And I will, so I'm not single, but if I were single, it's something to look into, you know, because it's a pretty good ratio for a man. And it did give me newfound respect because these, it takes quite a bit of upper body strength to be hanging from these poles. So it's not easy.
What about Physique 57?
That one is sort of a combination of aerobics and ballet. And again, the ratio is about 50 to 1. But I do challenge any men to go try these ballet-inspired workouts because they are incredibly painful. I mean, there were people crying. So, you know, I am one who doesn't love incredibly painful workouts. But if you do, that's the one to go to.
Did you do any manly man workouts with the strength and conditioning coaches where you yelled at the end?
Oh, yeah. I did plenty of those. One of my favorite workouts was, as you may know, there's a movement of people who are trying to act like cavemen.
Right.
So they eat like cavemen, like, you know, eating a lot of meat. And there's also cavemen workouts. So I went to Central Park with some of these self-professed cavemen, and we threw boulders and climbed trees and generally just tried to be Paleolithic. And I loved it. That was one of my favorites.
We have a man who called in. His name is Tim. He's in his late 60s. Said he tried working out, and he broke out in a sweat, and his heart rate went up, and he'll never work out again. Those are the type of the zany stories we're looking for today on Central Standard. Our guest is A.J. Jacobs, author of the book Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. We're going to go to John in Gladstone. Welcome to Central Standard, John.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Interesting show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I've been in gyms my entire life, working out, and I've just hit my early 50s and just got bored of gyms, and running wasn't always the best thing. And so earlier this summer, I decided to take up rollerblading in Kansas City.
And how did that work out for you?
Actually, it's interesting. First off, I'm 6'5", 280 pounds, so I'm not exactly the smallest guy to be on rollerblades. one of the more interesting things with rollerblading is I was having back problems, and they kept saying, you got to strengthen your core, and I worked, and couldn't do it. And rollerblading strengthened my core and took care of all my back problems, so I was just amazed. And so as a consequence, I do this whenever if I can do it every day, I do it every day. I travel, so I'm not always in town. But whenever I can get out and rollerblade, I do it for about 30, 40 minutes a day.
All right, John, thank you very much. There's a tip from John in Gladstone. If any of you are 6'5 and 280, the size of a pro defensive end, try rollerblading. Rollerblading
That's
is good.
Right.
Let's go to Mike.
I will get out of his way.
In Baldwin. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
I don't know if you guys remember the show, but a long time ago there was a show called Koshak, the Night Stalker. And
okay.
The very first, pardon me?
No, yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, the very first show had a vampire on it, and that thing scared the bejesus out of me. When I would run, and when I got older and I would run, I would literally psych myself out so much that vampire was behind me that you can literally run flat out forever.
Wow. Wow.
So that is a good tip.
So it's sort of an associative thing.
And I've kind of taught my kids. I mean, it's a little psycho, I think, now I think about it. But I kind of taught my kids it. And my son's in the Marines, and he has used it. But you just kind of psych yourself out and not even feel your body.
That's a good motivational
and just
flat tip.
Out run.
That's a good
one.
These
cavemen that I worked out with, they say that they try to imagine a saber-toothed tiger chasing them because sprinting is really part of their workout. But I also just wanted to quickly address the rollerblader, which I think is a great story, because that's the key to getting exercise is doing what you enjoy. If you don't like going to the gym, you can't force yourself to do it. You're never going to start to like it. So anything you can do, and it doesn't have to be strenuous, even gardening, just getting out there and getting your heart rate up a little bit, moving, that's the key.
Any action. Just start with moving.
Any action, exactly. Even fidgeting. There are actual scientific studies that say that if you bounce your legs and wiggle your butt in the chair, that burns some real calories. So
I'm doing that right now.
Ignore your mother. Me too.
Right now.
I am a fidgeter.
We're burning calories, AJ. Evan and Shawnee, welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, is it me?
Yep. Evan.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're good.
What I do is, like, on the weekends, I go to the park, and it sounds really lame, but we all love, and that's live-action role-playing, and, like, you, like, just sword fight, and it's really fun because you get to beat each other with, like, foam swords.
Foam swords? That's not lame.
That is.
That's not lame at all.
No, it's really fun.
My kids do that. Yeah, so I have many, many scars from being hit by foam swords. One of the people that I became friends with has the New York City's Quidditch team. You know, the game in Harry Potter.
Right.
So they have brooms and they run around on them and you know, they don't fly as far as I can tell, but again, it's all about having fun while you do it.
I'd like to see a bunch of grown men breaking out into an impromptu game of cowboys and Indians and just going pew, pew, pew in broad daylight.
Great idea.
That's a good workout thing. I know it'll work the core and stretch out a lot of other stuff. One thing that was interesting in your book, squelching of noise. What does squelching of noise have to do with being healthy? Some interesting statistics you cited in your book about the amount of noise and keeping out noise that can help us be healthier.
I know. I was very surprised by this because it turns out health is not just about food and exercise. Those are very important parts. But it's also about stress. And there's an alarming amount of data that that noise causes stress. Because back in caveman days, if you heard a crunching of the grass or a roar, you know, that might mean a predator's nearby. So it gets our fight or flight syndrome going. And so the key is not try to avoid very noisy environments. There's one study that says people who work in noisy environments have 2 to 3 times the rate of heart disease. So it's a very underestimated part of health. So I'm a big fan of earplugs and noise-reducing headphones. And, you know, I have 3 young boys, so I live in a very noisy household. So sometimes I'll just plug my ears up and, you know, it's it makes it much more pleasant when your kids are screaming and you can't hear them.
Well, I put on headphones 4 times a week and people blather in my ear. I listen to people. So by that rationale, I guess guess I need to start writing out my own eulogy there. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guest is A.J. Jacobs. He's the author of Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. Kansas City, has your spouse or partner driven you crazy with a crack diet plan or exercise regimen? Have you driven them crazy? Are you on a treadmill right now? Are you on the elliptical listening to this show and saying, why am I on an elliptical listening to this show? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org, even if you're on an exercise bike. Facebook is also an option, and our Twitter handle is @kcurcst. We've talked about squelching noise. We've talked about brain exercises. We talked about some of the crazy workout regimens that you had, including pretending to be a caveman. Tell us about nutrition, because that's a big component of exercising that people don't concentrate on a lot. And you touch on that in your book.
Oh, yeah, that's a big part of the book. And when it comes to food, there's basically 2 things to remember. There's the quantity and the quality. So the quantity, we're all overeaters. You know, America is the land of overeating. So anything you can do to reduce your portions. One of the more effective, surprisingly effective methods I found was that you should listen to your mother in this case. You should chew your food because the more you chew, the slower you eat. And the slower you eat, the less you eat. I actually ran across some very passionate chewers, and they've called their movement Chewdeism.
Chewdeism.
Chewdeism. Wow. So I became a convert to Chewdeism. I don't do it quite as much as they do because they pretty much spend their whole lives chewing. So small plates, even small utensils. I stole my kids' forks and knives. So that's the quantity. And then in terms of the quality, there's a big debate in the health industry about on the one side, the vegetarians, vegans, and then on the other side are the low-carb people who say that carbs are the cause of all the problems and they eat a lot of meat and fats. I think that the key is just to eat whole foods. This is what Michael Pollan, the food writer, says, and I think he's right. Eat whole foods.
As opposed to Trader Joe's?
Trader Joe's has some good stuff.
You said eat whole foods. I thought that maybe you were doing advertisement for the grocery chain.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I am not sponsored.
Okay,
this book
okay.
was free from sponsorship. And not too much. And one thing that both sides agree on is that processed grains like white sugar, white flour, that really is the worst. That will make you fat just by looking at it. So really we eat way too much sugar in our diet. I'm more concerned about sugar than salt.
Why are you in a yoga pose wearing a dashiki on your book jacket?
Well, that's the back jacket, I will say, because the idea was it's not just about the physical, but it's also about the mental, trying to be the mentally healthiest person alive. Because I do think the big pillars of health are food, exercise, stress, and sleep. So that's sort of to show my battle against stress, trying to be the least stressed out person in the world.
So dashikis sort of mellow you out.
Totally.
Good.
It's so comfortable.
Sleep is another important component that you bring up, and a very important component in staying fit and healthy and wellness and things of the like. You claim to hate sleep. So how did you get over that hump?
Oh, I do hate sleep. It's very frustrating because I feel like I'm wasting my time. But unfortunately, the data shows it is so important that if you get if you don't get enough sleep, if you're getting 6 hours or less, then it affects everything. It affects your performance at work. It affects your IQ. It affects your ability to drive. So I had to pledge to try to get 7 to 9 hours, as they say. So I had to go to sleep earlier. I had to turn off all of my electronic gadgets an hour before because the blue light from your computer messes with your sleep. So unfortunately, I did have to sleep more, and I got better at it. There's even a gadget that you can buy called the Zeo, and that'll you strap to your head, and it'll sort of give you a score of how well you sleep. So I tried that, and I have to say, quantifying things is a very good motivator because it turns it into a bit of a game. So something as simple as buying a pedometer, that'll make you walk more. And buying this sleep thing, that'll make you sleep better.
Does the Zeo go off while you're asleep, or does it give you your sleep score when you wake up?
Thankfully, it gives you when you wake up. Yeah, it became a bit of a competition between me and my wife because she would try it one night, I would try it the other. And she is a champion sleeper, so it was very frustrating to always be beaten by her.
So with the Zeo, she made you feel like a zero.
She sure did.
Kansas City, so far we've had a man dressed up in a Spider-Man costume running around in circles at concerts and drinking protein shakes afterwards for an exercise regimen. We had a man who ran in a Mr. Rogers-themed marathon and stopped at a cemetery of a man who said he wanted to stop at a cemetery during the race. And we had a 6'5", 280-pound rollerblader. We want to know, Kansas City, if you can top that. What crazy zany workout or diet plan have you gotten into? Did it give you the results you wanted, or did it give you a good story to tell, or both? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can also get at us on centralstandard@kcur.org. We asked folks on Twitter, what crazy zany workout or diet plan have you gotten into? Did you get the results you wanted? Courtney tweeted, exercise and a lot of sweat followed by fruits, veggies, lean protein, and water. Crazy, I know. Yeah, fruits, veggies, lean protein, and water? What type of crazy zany thing is that? Speaking of crazy zany things, tell us about what one doctor called your quote-unquote low-hanging fruit. A visit in which you found out you had a low level of testosterone. You labeled this chapter a quest to get more balls. I'll let you take that from here.
Well, thank you for bringing it up. I guess I did write about it, so it's a totally fair game.
It's fair game,
but
yeah.
Yes, this chapter was about I tested, and it turns out I did have lower than average testosterone. But by the end of the year, I had actually gotten it to above average. And there are a couple of ways to do this just by living healthier. So eating, salmon and walnuts and things like that, that's supposed to help your testosterone. Exercise helps your testosterone. He also prescribed a small dose of a drug that's usually prescribed for women who have fertility problems, Clomitrim or Clomid. So I took that for a while, and that seemed to work. That boosted it up. So now I am the manliest man you'll ever meet.
What were some of the interesting side effects of that testosterone-building drug that was meant for women, strong enough for women, but made for a man, like the secret deodorant?
Well, there's a huge industry of people who take testosterone do it in shots or gels or patches, and the promises are that you will become more energetic, you will your sex drive will go through the roof, and a lot of these are unfounded. There's not a huge amount of research on that. But I did feel a little more energetic, like I had had a cappuccino without having a cappuccino. Thankfully, my sex drive did not increase because, as I mentioned, I have three young kids. So I don't really know what I would have done with that extra sex drive. I don't, it serves no purpose. So luckily, that stayed about the same. Mostly it was a little bit of a change in the energy level.
Kansas City, have you dressed up in a Spider-Man costume and ran around in circles at a concert and drank protein shakes to exercise? Have you ran in a Mr. Rogers-themed race? We'd like to know. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also get at us on centralstandard@kcur.org. Also, at KCURCST is our Twitter handle. We're on with A.J. Jacobs. He's the author of Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. What surprised you on the quest for the perfect workout? And I would add to that, what was your favorite workout?
Well, my favorite workout, I think, is just playing with my kids. We like to play basketball, and they are ages 6 and 8, so it also is good for my ego because I can definitely kick their butt. So it makes me feel good in that way too. And so I would say that it's just spending time. And the other thing is surprisingly walking. As I mentioned, I bought this pedometer, and I try to get to the 10,000 steps per day. And I also go online and have a competition with some of my friends to see who can get the most steps. And it can get quite vicious. My friend yesterday got 35,000, and he said he was in excruciating pain, but he liked the fact that he humiliated the rest of us.
Speaking of which, we have a caller named Scott who is driving along 435 in Gregory here in Kansas City. He's working in the downtown airport, but he noticed a sign that says no rollerblading, no biking, etc. And he wonders, does the city of Kansas City not encourage working out? This is a very car-driven city, not a pedestrian-driven city like a New York City or a San Francisco in the middle of the city there. Do we as a country not encourage working out?
Well, I think we are a very sedentary society. I think the most sedentary society ever. So anytime you can, the people I talk to say, try to climb the stairs instead of taking the elevator, park far away so you have to walk through the parking lot. Those little tricks, anything you can do to get out of your car and get on your feet.
But the average person sits in their car and drinks coffee for probably an average of 45 minutes every day.
It's true. Well, the one good thing is coffee is overall good for you. So that made me feel better. And alcohol as well. One drink per day. After that, it gets a little dicey. But one drink per day is associated with a longer lifespan. And coffee, very good for staving off Alzheimer's and certain types of cancers. Too much of it, and it's bad for your heart. But overall, I'm very pro-coffee, pro-booze in moderation. And of course, chocolate.
A.J. Jacobs is pro-coffee, pro-booze, of course, in moderation, and also pro-chocolate. He's the author of Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. We've been asking you, Kansas City, at 816-235-2888, what crazy workout do you have? Once again, the number is 816-235-2888. Kevin in Ottawa, Kansas, welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I was going to make a comment, and I've been looking for the members that used to be in a group where we would perform an exercise, and we called it urban orienteering, where we actually had a game, and teams would go throughout the city, and we would combine bicycling and swimming and running, and we would lay out maps according to latitude and longitudinal directions and some historical relevant sites throughout Kansas City, where we would, and the point of the thing was to reach a certain amount of steps, a certain amount of mileage on your bicycle, and at the same time win the most points by being the first people to collect the flags or the items that were listed on the maps. And, we get 15 to 25 miles on a weekend. It'd be a couple of days. People would come in from out of town. But most of those folks have either moved away or lost interest or gotten old. But that was a very exciting way to get some good exercise.
Kevin, I think that still goes on downtown Kansas City. I think it's called, they call it today, let's see, they call it trying to get parking in and around the Sprint Center or the Power and Light. That's what they call that now.
That is
but
a
Kevin,
good game.
Thank you very much for joining this conversation. As to all you urban orienting people out there, former partners of Kevin, might be something you want to start up again there. We're on with AJ Jacobs. What's next for you? You've spent a year living biblically. You read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica. You've outsourced your life. And now you've spent 2 years getting drop dead healthy. What's next?
Well, I'm working on an article right now for Esquire magazine, which is my day job, about it's a movement called life logging, where you record everything in your life in as many ways as possible, including videotaping every minute. So I have hundreds of hours of videotape that I'll probably never watch. But it does have its advantages. You know, if you have an argument with your spouse, 60% of the time it's about, you didn't say that, you didn't tell me that. So now I can actually go back and say, okay, let's rewind the tape and see what I actually did say.
Do you sit on the couch and say, let's go to the tape?
Yeah, I do. I say, it never works out, to be honest, because if I'm right, then that's not good for our relationship. And if I'm wrong, then that's terrible as well. So there are drawbacks, but it's a fascinating experiment.
Are you planning on making that into a book or an audio book or a video blog or something to do your thing?
I think certainly an article. I don't know if it can sustain a whole book. And I'm not sure anyone would want to watch hundreds of hours of my life. But maybe I'll make them available if people want.
Joanne in Olathe, AJ Jacobs, wants to know, where do you get pedometers?
Get them online for, you know, there's cheap ones, $10-$20. I have one that's ridiculously overpriced, called a Fitbit, because you can hook it up to your computer and it'll make all sorts of charts of how active you were. So I am a fan of the Fitbit, but it's expensive. It's $100. They're coming out with a new version in a couple months that's $50, so you might want to wait.
Our guest is AJ Jacobs. His book is called Drop Dead Healthy: One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. He's also the author of A Year of Living Biblically and The Know-It-All. Thank you very much for joining us today, AJ Jacobs.
Oh, my pleasure. I had a great time.
And tune in tomorrow for Central Standard Friday's Highlight Reel with history host Monroe Dodd and food critics Charles Ferruza and Emily Ferris. Our show is produced by Tamika Weatherspoon, executive produced by Bill Anderson. Kim Noble is our usual announcer. Today we had Michael Byers and Danny Alexander. Central Standard's intro theme music to start is by Miles Bonney, and the outro you're hearing right now is by the Wilnots. Up to Date is next, examining the Kansas City spirit. That plus your weekend to-do list. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.